Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Showtime. How y'all feel?
If you got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
Hour number two, Sports Daily. Glad you could join us here on a Monday. The modern-day version of UNLV Rebels knocked off San Diego State over the weekend, gave the Aztecs their first loss. And when there is a book out about Jerry Tarkanian, Rebel with a Cause, the true story of Jerry Tarkanian, it's worth the read to start with. But when it's authored by his son, Danny, that makes it can't miss. Danny Tarkanian joining us now on the Twin Peaks Scenic Views Hotline. Appreciate you taking some time out of your morning, Danny. Thanks so much. How are you?
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
What was the, besides your dad being an unbelievable coach, what was the impetus for you writing a book about him?
Well, I grew up all the way through his career. As I mentioned in the book, I was his ball boy. I played for him at UNLV. I was an assistant coach from the Fresno State, and I was his attorney through a lot of the NCAA stuff. And I watched how the mainstream media and a lot of the sports writers, they never really they distorted his image and his career and some of the things that I thought needed to be clarified because of the incredible legacy that he had.
What was the most misunderstood part of the Shark? Or was it just thinking about him as the Shark? I mean, maybe we needed to think of this guy as Jerry Tarkanian first, and all of that other stuff was kind of ancillary.
Well, he sort of liked the nickname Shark. It was given to him by a sports writer in Long Beach. The biggest problem he had was his battles with the NCAA and the way it was portrayed. And in the book, I lay it out very clearly. I took away all subjectivity and just put all the specific facts in there, and I laid out all the charges and the evidence and so forth, and I tried to not make it too much a part of the book because people get bored reading those type of things, but it's important to clarify it. This whole thing with the NCAA started because my father was one of the first that would recruit poor inner-city African-American kids that had trouble in the past, whether it was off the court or in the classroom. My father related with those players because he was very similar. He came up from an Armenian ancestry, and in the place where he lived, the Central Valley in California, there was a lot of discrimination against him. He was a poor student. He got in trouble off the court. So he related with these kids. And when they came to college there, the NCAA rules cannot apply to those kids. Those rules by the NCAA were made in the 1950s when affluent kids were going to college who could afford extra money and doing things that they could pay for. Well, these kids that have been dominating college basketball and football for the last 50 years, they can't do that. If you, for example, you got a kid out of New York City and he wants to come to Las Vegas to play UNLV to play. How does he get there? He's like Richie Adams, grew up in Fort Apache in the Bronx, one of the worst places in the country to live. His family had no money. How's he going to get out to school there? And this happens all the time with players. Someone's got to pay for them to get out there. So now once he gets to school, how does he get to campus? You can't pick him up. You can't direct somebody to pick him up, and he doesn't know anybody. Of course somebody's going to pick him up. I go through the book and lay out all the ridiculous rules that he can't apply to those kids. So this is what happened. My father was very outspoken. He's very honest, and he's outspoken, and he said these rules are discriminating against the kids that are making college sports right now. They should be changed. Every school's breaking those rules, and I'm breaking them. And the NCAA came after him, and my father fought him back, and he took him all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, made him pay $2.5 million in a civil lawsuit, and in the end, they ended up destroying his career at UNLV and ended it at Fresno State.
Danny Tarkaning, our guest, he's got a story about his dad. The book's called Rebel with a Cause, a true story of Jerry Tarkaning. And Bruce and I were talking in the previous segment before you came on with us, Danny, about how not only did he absolutely steal the show in Vegas, but he had an unbelievable, if not quick, run at Long Beach State. Let's talk about your dad's style of play that he favored. This was before scoring 100 points was cool. What was his philosophy offensively going all the way back to those Long Beach State days?
Yeah, and that's a really great question, because when he was coaching, first of all, he took over a Long Beach State program that was Division II when he got there. And his third year, they got within 2 points of being UCLA in the regional finals. It was the closest game UCLA had in a seven-year run for the national championship. But he did it with long, lanky kids, and he played a slowdown game and a 1-2-2 zone. After the game against UCLA, John Wooden said it was the greatest zone defense he's ever played against, as did several of the players on that team. Then he goes to UNLV, and he loses a big kid just before the season started, Brett Roman. He went to the ABA, which was allowed at the time. So he was stuck without a big kid and didn't feel he could play the zone. So my dad had no ego. What he did was he called up Norm Ellenberger at New Mexico, who taught really great pressure man defense. He took his whole coaching staff down there, learned what Norm had to teach, and then he tweaked it and did some things differently himself, and he created the Run and Rebels, which is full-court pressure, man defense, race the ball up the court and take the first quick open shot you had. It was the first time anybody had played pressure man defense full-court and also shot the ball quickly, and he created the Run and Rebels, which was the most entertaining brand of basketball that was ever played. And I don't say that just because I'm the son. They averaged 110 points a game 1 year, 108 points a game another year, and they did it without the shot clock with a three-point line.
Danny Tarkaning joining us, the book Rebel with a Cause, about, of course, the great Jerry Tarkaning. We were talking a little bit before you came on about, you talk about guys that don't get their due. Jerry Tarkaning, to me, would be one of them because he was the architect of the kind of the college version of Showtime, Vegas, glitz, lights, glamour, allowing players to be who they were, celebrating their personalities and the fact that they were able to express themselves the way that they did on the floor, which, by the way, is not always an easy thing to do, to get those types of players to play together collectively. Doesn't get the kind of credit probably now, even with all of the wins and the national championship and this, that, and the other thing, that he probably deserves as a tactician of the game. Do you think that that's correct?
Well, that's absolutely correct, and was one of the motivations for me writing the book. And part of the reason is, as I mentioned, his battles with the NCAA. But the other thing is the NCAA stopped running at UNLV right when they were getting it going, and they did it twice. They got to the Final Four in his fourth year at UNLV, and then they put him on probation and tried to father be suspended for 2 years. That's what took him all the way up to the Supreme Court. And he continued to coach, and then he goes to three Final Fours in 5 years, wins a national championship, and has his best team the next year, which was undefeated all year until the loss to Duke. And then they forced him out at UNLV, and when they did, UNLV had already signed Sean Tarver, Ed O'Bannon, had commitment from Charles O'Bannon. Those three took UCLA to a national championship 3 years later. Jason Kidd had committed as a sophomore. They would have had a dynasty at UNLV like you'd never seen and won a few more national championships in that age. But, you know, his battles with the NCAA cost him, and it cost him with his legacy.
When he agreed, Danny, to step down from UNLV and coach the Spurs in 92, was that more he was just beaten down by the NCAA and he'd had enough, or he just wanted to do something else?
No. He didn't have choice. The university president at the time did not want to continue fighting the NCAA. His name was Robert Maxim, and he came in and he promised the community that UNLV was going to be the Harvard of the West, and he wanted to clean up the image. It's really an interesting part that I laid out in the book. When my father first went to UNLV, Las Vegas, in UNLV, the city had a tainted reputation. They were considered mob-oriented and were influenced prostitution, gambling, all that stuff. So So when the NCAA was attacking my father and making his image tainted, they were a match. But then when the big casinos started taking over corporations and started going towards a family-oriented reputation and brought in Maxim to clean up the reputation, they did not want to have somebody with my father's reputation that would hurt the rest of the community, and they forced him out.
Hmm. Well, one of the great lines ever delivered by a coach in any sport anywhere is from your dad. And it has to do, obviously, with his ongoing battles with the NCAA. It's one of my favorite quotes. The NCAA is so mad at Kentucky, they're going to give Cleveland State another year of probation. It's a hell of a line, and it would elicit a great deal of chuckles and laughter. But really, that kind of typified the relationship that he had with the NCAA through all of his career. And unfortunately, it's one of the things at the forefront that you think of when you think of Jerry Tarkanian, because not only did he have great teams and championship teams at UNLV and Long Beach State, but his ongoing battle with the NCAA is part of his legacy.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we spent a little bit of the beginning of the show talking about. It certainly was. My father had a really great quick wit. He had it in many different lines, and I put them in the book. Another one of my favorite lines was he said he always liked to take four-year transfers because they came with their own cars. And he got that from
right. Yes.
He got that from when Greg Gorgian transferred in from Arizona State, and he had his own car, and he asked my father if he'd continue to make the insurance payments that Arizona State was making for him. And my dad came up with that line.
Danny Tarkanian, our guest, he's got a book out about his father, The True Story of Jerry Tarkanian, a Rebel with a Cause. And your father's life, Danny, obviously very touching how many former players came back to see him. And I mentioned before we came on that the lights dimmed in Vegas when your father passed away. What is it maybe in summation that you want people to know about your dad that goes beyond him just winning a bunch of basketball games as a coach?
Well, and I try to lay that out there in the book, too. He was just a really great people person. He was able to relate with not only the players that he was coaching, but with the fellow coaches and really with just the average booster. You put him in a bar and let him tell stories, he's in heaven, and that's all he liked to do. And on more than one occasion, I'd be with him, and some drunk guy would come up to him at a bar and say, "Coach, why didn't you get the ball more to Larry Johnson? Tell so-and-so not to shoot the ball as much, and you guys will win." And my dad would say, "Is that right? Is that right? Yeah, I should do that." The guy would leave, and he'd think he taught my dad a lesson and go home and feel really good about himself. And that's just the way my dad was. He made people feel really good when they talked with him.
How would he look at things now? The face and the mechanism of NCAA basketball and in sports across the NCAA now are changing. So many questions about how we move forward with the payment to athletes, things of that nature. I would imagine that he would look at things somewhat ironically now, the way that that things are going, because I thought, frankly, he was way ahead of the curve when it came to things like what the NCAA is probably trying to do now.
That's exactly right. It's one of the reasons why the timing of the book is so good. It's not just the NCAA stuff, but the style of ball and the way he coached. Most of teams now, they play pressure defense. They give the kids on the team the green light to shoot the ball. They race the ball up and down the court. They play great defense. He was ahead of the game in a lot of that. And then with respect to the NCAA rules, he fought them for so many years that they kept having to change them and make them a little bit more fair. And finally the NCAA's rules were exposed how bad they are to the poor kids who come to college who can't afford to live like a regular student. And they're being forced to make some changes, but they're doing it reluctantly. And this is a problem that I have with the rules that are coming out. The California one where you can make money off your likeness. Well, that's going to benefit the great players. Those kids are going to be millionaires, maybe some billionaires at a point, when they get to the pros. But what about all the other kids on the team that come from these poor places? And I recruited for my father. I went into some of these homes, and I saw how poor they are. We had a kid at Fresno State who was always short of money, even though he had a scholarship check and a Pell Grant. And I said, "Why are you always short of money?" And he said, I had to send money back to my mother or they'll evict her from the house. My brother won't have any place to live and a roof over his head. It just breaks your heart when you hear stories like that. My dad always said, just let the players live like other college students and get rid of all the other big cheating, and it'll be a much fairer system.
Do you think the reason why, or one of the reasons why he got his players to play so hard for him is because they knew that he wasn't just going to stand idly by and let the NCAA do what they were doing?
Absolutely. His philosophy was, if you can get really close, and back then nobody did this. He was one of the first coaches to get real close to his players. It used to be more like Bobby Knight, where you'd have a general and all the people working under you taking your direction. But my father built a very close relationship with the players, and he did it by having an open-door policy at the office and also at the home, listening to their stories, and most importantly, when they got in trouble, whether it was off the court or fighting the NCAA or getting fair treatment by the NCAA, he stood up for them and showed loyalty and support. My father always said, if you want your kids to play as hard as they can play for you, they got to be loyal to you, and they're only going to be loyal to you if they know you're loyal to them.
And one of the other, Bruce had one of the good quotes from your dad, another one that I enjoyed from the book, and he said it kind of tongue-in-cheek, but trying to get his guys to play harder. He said, quote, you guys are all a bunch of bandits. University pays for your schooling, gives you a scholarship check, and you won't play hard, you won't give maximum effort. Next time you pick up your scholarship check, wear a mask and a gun because you're stealing from the university, unquote. Just to remind you guys that there's a reason why you're here, so put out while you're here, right?
Yeah, that was one of my favorite, too. I put that in the book. He was really good at that. And he had another one where we were going up to Wyoming, and we had a big kid who saw a sign that said, welcome to Laramie, 7,800 altitude, and the kid told my father, Coach, we can't press up here. We will get too tired in this altitude. My dad said, oh, don't worry about it. We're playing indoors. The kid goes, okay.
Hey, whatever it takes.
he just had a really good sense of humor, and that's how he related to players. And I'll tell you, to this day, I go back and I talk to players who played with them 30, 40 years ago, and they all rehash the same funny stories.
Danny Tarkanian's been our guest, a great player in his own right. Also went to law school, was a politician in Nevada, very accomplished career in your own right, Danny. So congratulations on all the success, and best of luck with the book. I have read most of it. It's fantastic, and I was always fascinated with the Runnin' Rebs. And that, too, was your dad's incarnation, right? He invented the term Runnin' Rebels?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that was at those teams that averaged 110, 108 points a game. That was created.
Awesome. Danny, thank you so much. Appreciate
Thanks, you. Thanks, Danny.
Thank you.
Bye. Danny Tarkanian, former player, former coach, Rebel with a Cause is the name of the book, The True Story of Jerry Tarkanian. All right. Hope you enjoyed that. When we come back, we'll talk some more college basketball, more in the here and the now, though. A little bubble talk with John Gassaway. John is an ESPN.com writer and has updated his thoughts on the said bubble. It is as big as it's been for a long time, and you'd be surprised who's not on it. Talk to John Gassaway. College basketball talk continues next.
Sports Daily with Bruce and Shane on KFH. Dial the studio at 869-1240.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.